Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Calvary Church. We are so glad that you've joined us here today. My name is Steve. I'm the lead pastor here at the church. And whether you're here in the house, in our main campus, in our Mandarin campus, or joining us on our online campus, it's wonderful. We're happy to be with you today. Now, today we start a brand new three-week vision series called What God Sees that leads up to our annual vision offering on Sunday, May the 31st. Now, I have tried for many years to be multiple places all at the same time, and I have not been able to pull off that miraculous stunt, but I'm working on it. I'll see if it comes together. But today, Pastor Susan and I are with a group of fellow Compassion Network pastors and IPHC leaders on a missions trip to open a brand new Hope Center Addiction Recovery International location that we as a church family were a part of helping to get off the ground last year. So thanks to your generosity, lives are being powerfully changed. And so I look forward to giving you all an update on the ministry efforts that are continuing there, just to let you know about the lives that are being transformed by God's power and people that are finding freedom that only can be found in Jesus. But you know what? It's equally important for me to also kick off this new series. So I pre-recorded my message a few days ago before I went away so that you all could be with us today and we could be together. Now, as a church, we're blessed to be a part of such a large network and family of churches across our nation and around the world. These are people and ministries who take the Great Command and the Great Commission very seriously. These are people that are doers of the word, not just hearers. But today we stand with them, and we also stand with all of you because we stand as a church family believing for what God started within us to be completed. And so our vision offering allows us to take another giant leap forward in what God's called us to accomplish together. And through your generosity, we're able to effectively reach our community in new ways while continuing to improve our campus here at Calvary. And so this year, we're hoping to do some new facility upgrades that we're excited about. We're going to be adding some new signage and giving the building a facelift. We're going to paint the whole thing, and so it's going to look amazing. So would you and your family, would you prayerfully consider what you can do above and beyond your regular tithes and offerings? Let's pray and ask God, what would you have me to do? Some can do something smaller. Some can do something much larger. So I'd ask that you'd listen to him, and then let's believe God for a miracle. You know, this annual church-wide moment of giving is something that continues to propel us forward. And honestly, we cannot do it without you. I always think of a scripture, 1 Chronicles 29, 3-5 says, "Because I have set my heart on the house of God, I have given to the house of my God over and above that which I have prepared for the holy house. Who among you is ready and willing to join in the giving?" Who among you is willing? So I pray that you would be ready, willing, and able. This is another practical way that we can set our hearts on making a generational impact, effectively serving and ministering to families, to seniors, to kids, to young adults, and students. This is another way that we can do that effectively together. So let's believe for a miracle. Can you do that? Let's join our faith together and believe for good things on the 31st. So before we jump into the word today, let's pray. Let's believe for this vision offering this year. Father, we are thankful that in you is everything that we will ever need. And yet you have demonstrated out of your love that you loved us so much that you gave us your son. And so today we ask you to direct our steps and our giving as we believe for a miracle day of giving at the end of this month to strengthen the work of your house, to do what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, when I was a kid, I distinctly remember the first time that I was ever on a plane with my family, and we were heading out on vacation. And it was kind of this nervous excitement, you know, this curiosity about something that I had never experienced before, but it was something that I was also very much looking forward to. And so I remember getting in my seat, you know, listening to the announcements, getting buckled up, and then roaring down that runway, faster and faster, as finally, and with great relief, we lifted into the air. But then something powerful happened. Soon we broke through the clouds, and I was in awe of what I was looking at. I was looking at the window of the plane, and what I saw was a perspective, a view that I'd never before seen in my life. And I remember in that moment, as the sun was now shining very brightly above the clouds, I thought to myself, this must be what God sees. Because I was now looking down on what seemed like creation, and I had this bird's eye view of maybe, just maybe, in my young thinking, this could be what he sees, you know, and yet we know he sees so much more than that. But my view in that moment was reframed. Now, what God sees is this vision series that invites us to see our lives, to see our church, to see our city through the eyes of Jesus. And it's then grounded in a truth that when we begin to see what God sees, we don't just start to think differently, we live differently. And that's a very important difference. This series will help each of us to reframe how we view our own lives, reminding us that we're not left behind or overlooked, but we're being intentionally formed and shaped by God, knowing that he's still at work. He's still doing that good work that he started within us. And then that shifts our focus, I think, to kind of more of an outward focus, calling us to see people, to see others with the same compassion that Jesus demonstrated to us, where love becomes active and it moves us into everyday mission, where our lives can make an impact in those that are searching for hope. And then finally, it lifts our perspective to what God is building among us as a church. And it's an invitation to respond with faith-filled generosity when it comes to shared purpose, when we put our minds to do something and our spirits to do something together. Now, altogether, I believe that this is a call to align our vision with God's and to step into a life shaped by trust and love and participation in his greater story. But in order to do that, let's go back to the beginning. Let's look at a character in the Bible whose heart really it frames up the heart of this series. And here we're going to look at this Egyptian slave named Hagar. And when we see her, she's on the run in this particular verse of Scripture after being mistreated by Sarah, Abram's wife. And in her deep distress, this is when the angel of the Lord, this is when God steps into her life with a promise that would ever forever change her life. And so her response is really the heart cry of this What God Sees series. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 16. Let's look at verse 13. It says, "You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me." So we need to know that in this moment, she was feeling alone. She was feeling overlooked and invisible. She was feeling like she was a pawn in someone else's game. And in that moment, that's when God steps into her life and meets her. And everything in that moment begins to shift as she begins to realize, God sees me. I'm not being overlooked. You see, when our spiritual eyes are open and we see the one who sees us, something changes within us. When we see ourselves the way God sees us, everything, literally everything in our life begins to change. I don't know if you've noticed, but sometimes we get a little hard on ourselves, harder than anybody else around us. Even when things are going okay, there's still this nagging voice on the inside that we begin to think things like, man, I just feel like I should be further along. You know, I thought I'd be somewhere else by now. And in this moment, you wrestle with this thinking. Why does it feel like I'm so behind? Especially when you start looking at other people. And without realizing it, we begin to define our lives through things like timelines and comparison and past mistakes. And it really kind of slows down or stops our progress. But here's what's really happening underneath it all. You see, we're really struggling with how we see ourselves. And here's the truth. You will never live differently until you see differently. Again, when we see ourselves the way God sees us, everything around us begins to change. Timothy Keller, he once said this. He said, God sees us as we are, loves us as we are, and accepts us as we are. But by his grace, he does not leave us where we are. You see, he loves you so completely, even in your brokenness, even in your weakness, that he promises to transform you and to change you. He's not going to leave you where you're at. So, what exactly does God see in us? Well, theologically, he sees his son. He sees Christ. And the great price that he paid on Calvary for us to be able to see and experience what he sees in us. And so the first thing, as we kind of look through Scripture and study and track through God's heart and how his perspective changes things, we need to understand that God sees you fully. You see, before you had a name, before you ever had a story, long before things like success or failure, God saw you. Not a future version of you, not a fixed version of you, you, fully and completely. Psalm 139, verse 16 says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. He sees the beginning from the end. And yet many of us are still living our lives like we're unseen. It's incredible. We show up, we engage, but inside we're still feeling overlooked. We're still wondering what's happening. Some of you don't need to do more for God today because sometimes we think that will do the job. We'll get his attention somehow. You just need to finally receive how God sees you right now. Even in your messed up state, even in your struggles, even when you're doing great or when you're struggling. Listen, he sees you, he loves you, he believes in you, he's chosen you right now. Second thing we need to understand is that God sees you with his perspective. You see, when we don't see what God sees, we don't know how to live. We start to drift in our life. That vision that we're missing, our life starts to kind of get listless. And so Proverbs 29:18 is one that many of us are familiar with, where it says, where there is no vision or there's no divine guidance, it says the people perish. Now, I think that this verse is often misunderstood. It's not just talking about our goals and our personal plans. The word vision here means so much more. It means revelation. It means health. In other words, it's God's perspective for your life. And perish here doesn't mean instant destruction. It means to cast off restraint, to run wild, right? To drift or to lose direction. And that's when we start to drift into things like comparison and insecurity, striving, And we get ourselves into a deep state of confusion, all because we're trying to define ourselves without God's perspective. And that can become exhausting. Think about it like a GPS. If the starting point is off, even slightly, when you put in the coordinates, then the journey will be completely different, the path that you will take. In the same way, if your internal vision is off, if it's like, man, I'm behind, I'm not enough, I'm just so messed up, then your life, your journey, will begin to also take that same direction. Craig Rochelle says, he says, your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. So if your vision is off, then your life will be too. The third thing that we need to understand is that God sees you with purpose. God doesn't just see where you are, he sees where you're going. He sees ahead of you. He has the knowledge that some of us would desperately love to have, but he also understands that we need to grow in this path that he's called us to. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope." I think many of us struggle because we assume, oh, well, this is how my life turned out. This is all there is, right? And we just kind of settle in. But God never sees your life as finished or locked in or beyond hope. C.S. Lewis wrote, "You are never too old to set another goal or dream or to dream a new dream." I love that. I love it. I remember someone saying to me once, "I just feel like, you know what, I kind of missed my moment. I feel like I had it and I made some poor decisions and I missed it." But you know what? If you look at Scripture, it tells a very different story. Look at Moses, right? Called at 80. Or Abraham, waited decades. God is not limited by your timeline or the goals we have set for ourselves. When God sees your life, he doesn't see missed chances. He really sees unfinished purpose and potential. And then finally, God sees what he is still doing. Not just what he's doing, but what he's still doing. I think we tend to define ourselves sometimes by what's incomplete. But God defines us by what he started. He's not done. Even though we think it should have happened quicker or looked much different. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you, in your children, in your family, in your marriage, in your finances, being confident of this, that he who began that good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Imagine someone reading your entire life story out loud. The good parts, the hidden parts, even the parts that you regret. And then saying, "I see all of it, yet I still choose you." You see, that's how God sees you. Fully known, fully loved, still being formed, and still being shaped. Your completion is not found in the accomplishment of a goal that you set. Your completion is found in knowing him. And then we grow every day more and more to look like him or to move away from him. So our call is to pull closer, right? To reflect our maker, our creator. So be the unique, one-of-a-kind person that God sees you can be. But you know what? Truth is, we can cooperate with that process or we can fight against it. And some of us are somewhere in between the two. Remember that transformation is going to take time as you renew your thinking, your mind. We need to trust in that process. I think there's a reason why God took 6 days to create the world instead of one, because you know what? He was powerful enough to go, boom, it's done. But he took 6 days. Why? Because I think he wanted to show us how to go through a process of change and then to celebrate that progress along the way. It was a pattern for us to recognize and follow. The renewal of your mind and transformation of our lives, listen, it happens when we see and recognize what God is still doing in our lives, instead of how far we still have to go, right? Some of us get so discouraged by thinking, wow, you know what? It's like going on a long flight. Well, I know I want to go to the destination I'm headed, but man, it's going to take a long time to get there. But embrace the moment. Seize the day that you're in. In the meantime, there's some things that we can do to help that process along, especially when it comes to our thinking. We need to resist the negative, destructive thoughts and assist him in what he sees in us. Positive thoughts are not going to stay in your head. They need to be assisted. That's where we can help. Negative thoughts are not going to leave either. They need to be resisted. That's why we need to know the Word of God. That's why it's so important when we gather on Sunday that we're spending time in His Word, so that these words are not just written on a page, but they're written and inscribed on our hearts. We need to assist the Word of God by making room for it in our lives and resist the evil thoughts of the enemy by taking them captive, by making them submit to Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We're talking about anything that other than how God sees you, right? And it says, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You know, the Bible, interestingly enough, it's always painting pictures. Jesus was always, he was a narrative theologian, always telling stories so that we would remember. But the Bible describes our thoughts as ships that are looking for harbor, looking for a place to weigh anchor, to dock. Now, you and I can't stop the bad ships from going back and forth on the ocean, even if they're full of pirates, right? But you can refuse them docking privileges in the harbor of your mind. Negative thoughts will come. It's inevitable that they do. But you do not have to allow them to stay. But you can speak against them with God's word. But you got to know the word. You got to study it. You got to spend time meditating on those things so that you can have them ready as a tool to respond when those negative thoughts come. You know, we often see and dwell on things like flaws and delays and even failure. But God sees purpose. He sees formation. He sees completion. And the difference between those two visions will determine how you live your life. So today, let me leave you with three questions. First one is, where has your vision been off? Where has it been off and it needs to be refocused? Second question is, where have you been believing in your life that you've fallen behind? And then finally, where do you need to align with what God sees instead of just what you're seeing? Today, I believe God wants to restore vision, not just for your future, but for your identity, to know who you are in Him. I want you to know that if you've been striving, if you feel unseen today, if you've believed those destructive thoughts that you've been left behind, then God wants to step into your life like He did with Hagar. He wants you to know that He sees you and He has a great purpose for your life. If that's you this morning, I want to pray for you. And as soon as I'm done, our team is here at the prayer wall. Our directors and pastors and small group leaders, they would love to pray with you about anything that you're dealing with in your life. But my prayer for you in just a moment is that you would so desire for God to see you, that you would recognize that He already does. And that in knowing that it would cause you to live in a different way. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You today. We thank You that You see us, that You formed us, You've created us. And because of that, Lord, our perspective should change. Help us to see ourselves the way that You see us. To move past the discouragement in our life, to rely on You for the strength that we lack. And God, to know that the good work You've started within us, You are so faithful to see it through to its completion. And when those negative thoughts come, when those ships full of pirates try to come into the harbor of our minds, that we would refuse them entry in Jesus' name and by the power of his word, that we would begin to see you increase within us and our weakness decrease. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God's very best to all of you, Calvary. This is a great start to our new vision series. Before we end our service and worship today, I want to invite you to join our prayer team. We'd love to pray with you and believe that that good work he started within you, he's faithful to see it through to its completion.